The following program, the Acunet Mortgage and Realty Show, is paid for in full by Acunet Mortgage, LLC, an equal housing lender, consumeraccess.org number 255368. The advice and opinions expressed during the Acunet Mortgage and Realty Show are solely that of the hosts and guests of Acunet Mortgage, LLC, and not WTMJ or Good Karma Brands.
Welcome to the Acunet Mortgage and Realty Show, getting you inside information on buying, selling, and financing your home with expert advice from Acunet Mortgage and Realty. And now, here's Brian and David Wickert.
Welcome to the Acunet Mortgage and Realty Show. I'm Brian Wickert, licensed real estate broker with Acunet Realty Advisors and also the majority owner of Acunet Mortgage, where my individual NMLS ID number, David, is 259610, along with my son, David Wickert, who's one of our top senior loan consultants, also our chief client experience officer. What's your individual NMLS ID number, David?
3247.
Can you say it one more time?
328847.
All right. Thanks a lot. Hey, we're supposed to say that because this is a podcast. So I told regulator in Minnesota that we'd start saying that. Anyway, here we go. It's been a busy week in mortgage world and real estate world. We got an important economic reading on inflation last week on Leap Day on February 29th. The Personal Consumption Expenditures Index, which is the Federal Reserve's preferred measurement of inflation. And that measurement of inflation came in exactly as expected. And so the stock market and the interest rate markets yawned. Would you agree with that, David?
Yeah. Mostly, I think everyone, especially in the mortgage and bond markets, thankful that it wasn't worse.
Okay. And what's it was about up 2.4% or something like that?
Year over year was 2.4%. Let us all open our hymnals to the Federal Reserve Chapter 2, which is the Fed would like inflation to be at near or around 2% year over year. So we are close. We are not there. 2.8 was core personal consumption expenditure. Month over month, though, which, I mean, you know, you're only looking at February compared to 0.4. So the answer is, but the answer lies, right? 0.4, if you extrapolate that over a per annum, that's 4%. So the answer is, right.
We're lucky that rates didn't get worse. Okay.
Yeah.
It kind of stayed the same. And we'll do a little rate roundup later. We're basically around 7% on a 30-year fixed rate. Let's call it 6.99 if you're. We'll get back to that in a minute. But what I also wanted to give everybody was a flash report on February home sales. Now, this is only going to get better. And this is according to the Greater Milwaukee Association of Realtors and the Multiple Listing Service. And the reason I think it's going to get better is not everybody has their data in yet from the last day of the month. They have a couple of days to do that. But as of right now, three more homes sold this past February. Condos and single-family detached properties in the five-county metro area, that's 911 closed. Made it to the closing table with the help of a member of the National Association of Realtors. You got something to say about that, David?
What your numbers prove, thing I have felt about buyers, is that buyers are ready. They're not waiting. They're not waiting for rates. They're not waiting for home values to do anything. People are making life decisions. And it's true this year in comparison to last year's march forward.
And speaking of samesies, as last year, there were 1,216 properties that came on the market in February, which is 11 fewer than last year. So a statistical dead heat on both sales and listings. But if we compare to a pre-COVID year, let's go back 5 years to February of 2019, there were 187 fewer closed sales last month in February. That's a 17% decline. And let's just look at that and say, that ain't too bad, given all the facts and circumstances. And you won't be surprised to know, David, that listings, however, were 402 fewer. That's a 25% reduction in inventory. And not be surprised to learn that with that greater restriction on supply and the still demand that's out there because people want to live in houses, that has caused the median sales price over the last 5 years in the five-county metro Milwaukee area to go up a cool 53% or $101,000 American dollars. The median sales price in February was $292,000. All right, you're going to say something?
Well, what I was going to observe to you is, given how this February looked a lot like last February, and not all that much like from 5 years ago pre-COVID, it might be that welcome to the new normal, that we really should be setting expectations. If we've got, you know, one day does not a pattern make, two data points, you know, last February, this pre-February, boy, that looks like a trend to me that that might be for buyers and sellers.
Yeah. And then, you know, the only thing, we've said this before on the show, hey, as rates hopefully drift down at some point, it hasn't happened yet, we're kind of stuck. We have a couple of reports coming up. Next week, we have the monthly jobs report will come out on Friday. And that's a big mover for interest rates, because if more people get jobs and earn more money, they spend it. And yeah, that is not good for inflation. So we're looking for hopefully a more tempered jobs report. Hey, when we come back, let's take a look, David. You said you had one offer where they were competing against 11 other offers.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that, because that's kind of an indication of the current market conditions. When we come back, you're listening to the Acunet Mortgage and Realty Show on AM 620 WTMJ.
Home buying advice from the guys who know it best. This is the Acunet Mortgage and Realty Show with Brian Wickert on WTMJ.
Welcome back, and thanks for tuning into this week's show. David, we're just kind of recapped what the market was like in February, and we're saying it's kind of a reprint from last year, which is more buyers than listings. And mm-hmm. So you said you just had an offer, one of your clients that you've been working with for a while, competing against 11 others. Give us the rundown on what we did to make them the best and how things turned out.
Well, so let me actually tell you what this listing was not. This listing was not, I would say, have you previously described, you know, the meat of the market is between like 175 and like 475. Is that what you've previously called the meat of the market?
Yeah, or thereabouts? I would say that's about right. Well, the median price in February was 292. So yeah, let's slap 150,000 above and below that. And yeah, that's probably 2/3 of your market.
So because what we've observed over many years now is like, oh, you want to buy a 3-bed, 2-bath, you know, on 68th and North in Wauwatosa? It's like, well, get your knife out, because it's going to be competitive amongst many other buyers for this one house. Okay, well, this house was north of 550, which not everyone buying a home is reaching for that much house.
That's,
you know,
right.
That's a thinner group of buyers.
I would agree.
But for this home, nicely redone. The listing agent is someone who's been in this, you know, industry, in this Milwaukee market for a long time, seasoned pro. And so the buyer's agent looped me in that her client was going to be writing an offer on this house. They were going to be writing $15,000 over the list price, had already, I think, let's call this that this was like Saturday. By Saturday, this house already had 11 other offers that they were looking at, which anytime that you've got that's a lot of people. Yeah. When you've got 11 offers, there's a lot of people who actually decided to not write. So there probably was even more interest in this home than not. So what the agent, yes, sir.
Were you able to get the property specific appraisal waiver? My favorite tool in the drawer?
I was, because what this smart buyer's agent realized is, like, holy cow, okay, we got a lot of competition. We need to reach for every tool that we can. And I've worked with this buyer's agent a number of times. And so she said, hey, here's the house that my clients are interested in. Could you run it through the mortgage software and see if we get the appraisal waiver at the price that her buyers were willing to pay?
Which is $15,000 over the asking
price. Over the list price. And so I cracked open my laptop, ran it through the software, and huzzah, Fannie Mae in their mortgage software said, oh, the property at 123 Main Street, and you're going to, you know, you say is the value of the home. Right. the software system, and it is a black box, and so this isn't true every time, but given all the data that Fannie Mae has on this particular house at this price, the mortgage software said, we believe you on value. No need for an appraisal.
Did you try to go higher than what they were willing to offer?
I offered, but the buyer's agent was pretty clear in communicating that her clients did not have an appetite to go above
more than that. And
exactly.
Keep in mind, you know, the listing price is, as you point out, a made up number.
Yep.
You know, it's, you know, a lot of times it's based on facts like, hey, what if similar homes sold for? Did you have any feeling from talking with the buyer's agent? Was this home underpriced, priced just right? Any indication on that?
I think this house was, can I go more big picture than that? So this house was nicely redone in a Waukesha County suburb. And I think given the appetite for this house, what probably a lot of these buyers recognized was it is cheaper for me to pay for this completed house with it redone, you know, 1, 2, 3, than to buy an ugly house and spend money, cash out of pocket, to improve my ugly 1994 home in a, you know, Waukesha County suburb. And so I think the appetite, I don't believe that this home was mispriced on the list price. I think all the buyers in this price range, I think all the buyers were like, wow, it is cheaper for me to hand this seller $20,000 over the list price than to buy a home that needs work and hand $120,000 to a general contractor, cash out of pocket to make it better.
Yeah. And then it's like, yeah, I mean, then it would be your own, David, and you can make all those torturous decisions on what color countertop you want to have and all that happy stuff.
Yes.
But
yes.
So what's another? So you had the appraisal waiver. Awesome. Which means you had to have at least 20% down, which is attractive to this seller. And what else did this buyer do to try to make their offer more attractive than the other 10 or 11 or 12?
So the other thing that they reached for was inspection wiggle room that, you know, what a seller, particularly in a competitive situation, a seller doesn't want to get, you know, onesie twosie. Yeah, nitpick, because it's like you're buying, it's like a house will always need work, will always need fixing. I, with the buyer's agent, had a philosophical conversation about, okay, well, what is, you know, the best way to use inspection wiggle room? Let me give you some of those details after this break. You're listening to the Acunet Mortgage and Realty Show on AM 620 WTMJ.
Getting you into the home of your dreams. Here's more of the Acunet Mortgage and Realty Show with Brian Weckert on WTMJ.
Welcome back to the Acunet Mortgage and Realty Show. I'm David Weckert, the younger. That's Brian Weckert over there, the wiser. And
I like that.
Yeah. So, Dad, telling a story about, boy, this home in a Waukesha County suburb listed over $500,000, had 11 offers, at least. But, you know, that was just my update. Who knows what they ended up with, 12, 13, 14.
Yeah, by Sunday, yeah.
So, my clients used appraisal wiggle room. Hey, seller, we're going to offer you this price, and the computer system says we don't even need to send an appraiser out to the house. One less thing. See at the closing table.
Yeah,
sellers love
certainty, right? And they did not have to check the appraisal contingency box that was left vacant, no doubt. And you highlighted in your rock solid pre-approval letter,
says
no appraisal required, and you probably
for your house,
the listing agent.
At 1, 2, 3, you bet I did.
Yeah.
So then the other thing that the buyers reached for was inspection wiggle room. And I approach the inspection contingency as money fixes everything. Because whatever you might discover about a house can be addressed. New roof, foundation issues, but it's all a matter of degrees, right? Right, but it's mold. And so these buyers said, hey, seller, for any one of the things that we buy, or not buy, we have discovered in the inspection, so long as that one thing is not greater than $15,000 to remediate, we will not bring that problem to you for any one, not cumulative, for any one thing.
So let me ask you a question. So if they had a $10,000 basement problem and a $10,000 roof problem, they're eating both.
Well, that is how the words were written in the contract, at least.
Okay. But how'd that go over with the seller?
Well, I can tell you, at best, my clients came in second place on this house. And as my brother-in-law Tim likes to say, in the words of Ricky Bobby, if you ain't first, you're last. And that is true in housing because there's only one. There's only one house. So, you know, as I was texting back and forth with the buyer's agent, you know, I said, I was like, okay, 15,000. Well, let's go down this slippery slope. What if it was 15,500? What if it was 15,900? What if it was 16,000? What if it was 17,000? Where is your, you know, oh, that's too much. Once we got to 18,000, then I would have to stop.
So what is the, is this just a philosophical, because obviously what we're suggesting is that somebody probably wrote with no inspection contingency.
Yes, because, you know, because whatever you might find in an inspection can be addressed with money. And my buyers said, hey, don't worry, up to 15,000 bucks, don't worry about it.
Per item. Yeah, per item. And so that, you know, so we don't know, maybe they lost on price and maybe, you know, we'll never know. Right. Rarely do we get a complete postmortem on this. Or do you know something?
I don't, but I'm going to watch for the when the house closes. I'm guessing it closes, you know, maybe sometime end of March. So we'll at least know on the price part.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, chances are maybe somebody wrote 25,000 over. I'm just guessing. And and maybe it wasn't the modified home inspection contingency that made their deal second place.
The other thing,
but the point is, when you got 11 offers on there, and at least this, you didn't get, this isn't like, because you said it was in Waukesha County, so it's not going to be a 100-year-old house, you know, which people do. Probably. People write offers on 100-year-old homes in Milwaukee County all the time without inspection contingencies. But go ahead, wrap it up.
So what I also messaged the buyer's agent was, I was like, look, at some point, if something is discovered that might cost $15,000 or more dollars worth of work, there's a strong likelihood that as your friendly lender, I might be the bad cop about that thing. Hey, we discovered a hole in the roof and that's going to cost $14,000. It's below your threshold. Well, it might be, we sometimes like to say the financing contingency is in many ways a back inspection contingency. Because if the house has something that bad, we probably, as your lender, will be like, cool, it's fine that you might want to address this, you know, on your own. But before we lend you the money, the home needs to be in good and marketable condition, and we got to patch that hole in the roof, in my example,
before we
all show up to the closing table.
Right, right. Or we're not going to give you the loan, and then you escape on the financing contingency.
So really, if you're about to offer wiggle room greater than $10,000, I guess my advice would be, don't even bother checking the box, because in many ways, you're already protected if you're trying to get up a loan, because we care about the marketability of the home, the health of the home.
Yeah, it's a competitive market, and everybody's going to have to take their own risks. And maybe these folks will waive the appraisal, or I'm sorry, the inspection contingency next time. It is something I don't really like to see people do. All right. Right now, it's time to turn it over to the WTMJ Breaking News Center.
Don't break the bank to get into a house. Back to the Acunet Mortgage and Realty Show with Brian Wickert on WTMJ.
Welcome back, and thanks again for tuning in to today's show. I'm Brian Wickert, the elder, and that is David Wickert over there, the younger, taller, more handsome Wickert. And he's one of our senior loan consultants and chief client experience officer, which, by the way, David, I've originated a couple of loans in the last few weeks, and I love that email you send out. That you've designed in our process. When we send in the loan application for official underwriting approval, after we get all the documentation in, we ask the customers, hey, how are we doing?
Oh, yeah.
And I want to say, I'm getting really good reviews.
That's good.
Great.
I would expect nothing less.
That's right. And hey, I want to tell you about a past client of ours. We've helped them on their former primary residence in Illinois, and then we helped them buy a condo in Florida that eventually now has become their primary residence as they've moved more toward fuller retirement. And now they found a really lovely home on the water. It's one of the Keys, you know, along the left-hand coast of Florida, yeah, that they want to buy, and it's rather expensive. It's a little less than $3 million, and so they called up and said, "Hey, we negotiated this offer," and because they have the means, they wrote it as a cash offer, but now they can still get a mortgage, just like in Wisconsin, and they do want to do that because
they called you after they wrote the offer, or no, simultaneous to?
It was kind of simultaneous to it, but.
Because the thing about a cash offer is, like, if you write it, you are showing up at closing. I would want to just call and make sure that while I, you know, cash offer is proving that you can. Do you want to is part of your conversation with them, right?
They were confident enough that.
In you.
Talking to, yeah, pretty much. That okay. On, yeah. So they have this accepted offer, 30-day close, and we're going to lend them over $1.3 million. So it's not a small loan, but no problem. We can handle it. Yeah. And we got a great jumbo. Check this out, David. In a market where conventional financing is around 7, well, a jumbo would be about the same if you want no points. And typically, jumbo pricing isn't as good as Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. But the cost to buy down the rate to 6.375% was only 1.5 points. And so one part of this story is, okay, do you recall in the IRS code, which I've confirmed with my buyer's tax accountant, what is the interesting thing about paying points on the purchase of a primary residence?
You can itemize it in your tax returns for that year?
Yeah, that's right. You can take the deduction in the year. So this is going to be like $1,000 of points. But he's going to get a benefit of taking that as a tax deduction. And actually, because the loan amount is over $750,000, he is going to get a little haircut on that. But he's going to recoup that in about 2 years of lower monthly payments.
Okay.
And here's the other interesting thing.
Yeah, plus to your point, he's getting a discount on the actual cost of the points. Yeah.
And points are just interest paid in advance. That's all points are. It's it's calculated.
This is next level, but yeah.
Next level. So you know, once we started going down this road, he quickly caught on, and you know, he's like, okay, well, then let's go even lower, right? So we went down to 6.375. And the other thing that's interesting about this is in Florida, because the state of Florida doesn't have income taxes, state income taxes, they find other things to tax.
Oh,
and guess what? One of those other things is a mortgage. And so between the state and the county, the mortgage tax on this transaction is $7,500, okay?
Which is based upon the loan size, not what you're buying it for, what you're borrowing.
That's right. And then the other thing that's true is title insurance, much more expensive in Florida. And so that's going to run about $6,000. So the point is, it is hard to justify a refinance in Florida, because you have to overcome the high title cost and the high the mortgage tax.
Yep.
And so I was telling them, this is another reason to pay points, right?
In this particular situation. You need to set this up like this loan might actually be the only loan you put on this property, which is, you know, which is what's fun about doing this whole mortgage thing, is the advice that you or I might provide is specific even to the state that you're in. Hey, you're in Florida and you're in this big loan. We really need to get you the best deal that we possibly can. In Wisconsin?
That is not the advice we would not give, right? You just go ahead and finish that thought.
In Wisconsin or Illinois, because refinancing is relatively cheap, would be like, why are you investing to get a lower rate right now? It's so cheap to refinance that, like, you know, date the rate, as we've said for a long time.
All right. When we come back, I got a little bit more on this story that I think you'll find interesting relative to property taxes. You're listening to the Accunet Mortgage and Realty Show on Wisconsin's radio station, AM 620 WTMJ.
Important home buying questions and answers you can count on. This is the Acunet Mortgage and Realty Show with Brian Wickert on WTMJ.
Welcome back to the show, and thanks again for tuning in today. We're just talking about helping some clients who are originally from Illinois, now Florida residents, buying a really nice home on a canal in the west shore of Florida. And I was just telling about how there was another element to the story called property taxes. So on this home that's just a hair under $3 million, the current property tax bill was $8,000 a year. So guess what a normal human being would assume, David?
Well, I get that $8,000, $3 million house. That is, yeah. I would, can they keep it that way?
No. So I go to the county tax collector site to look up the tax bill on this house, and right there it says, warning, if you're buying a home in this county, do not assume that the old property tax is going to apply to you as a buyer. Because in Florida, apparently they have a lot of caveats that slow down the acceleration of property taxes. And these people the sellers have lived in the home over 20 years. And okay. I think are elderly, and they have enjoyed lots of protection from their property taxes going up. Want to hazard a guess, David, as to what the new property tax bill, according to the county's website, where they say take the purchase price and then put a deflator on it of about 20% to get to the assessed value. What do you think?
Well, that assumes then that $3 million down to 2.4. Let's say 1% of that deflator, 2.4, $24,000 a year for the privilege.
$34,000. And so when I discovered this, I thought, I better tell my clients this. And they got over it because they really, really want this house.
You know what? A client from Illinois wouldn't even blink at a property tax bill that bad, I bet. No, have you looked at property tax bills outside of Chicago? I mean, yeah, it's pricey.
Yeah, it is pricey, and
for them, if that's the cost of sunshine, they're like, whatever. Can I
correct? Go ahead.
So I think you had said these people are making a really big down payment, like more than half,
more than 50. Yeah, more than half.
How did they arrive at Is that like a monthly payment thing for them, or? How did they zero in on Brian, we want it not for 1.29. I want it for 1.3.
Yeah, because it's not all their non-retirement money. It's a lot of it, though. And so that's a conversation that I want to have. So we kind of had to get this started. We're on a short clock, right? Yeah. 30 days. It's like we got to get this thing moving. And so, by the way, we're going to have the appraisal back next week. Already, and we've already got things all put together, very cooperative clients, and so we're already standing in the queue for official underwriting approval. But you're right, it's like now that I've confirmed with the borrowers, the buyer's tax accountant, what the tax deduction is. So they do itemize their taxes, which means that mortgage interest is tax deductible, but under the 2017 Tax Reform Act, the interest on only the first $750,000 of mortgage debt is tax deductible, not on the whole 1.3 or so that we're going to lend them. But it turns out that the 6.375 turns into an effective after-tax rate of 5.03. So they can borrow money fixed for 30 years for 5.03 on an after-tax basis. What do you think I'm going to pose to them and their financial advisor?
Well, why not? It's the slippery slope. You're at 1.3. Why not 1.31? You know, for every $1,000 that they're borrowing, it's probably going to cost them, let's call it $7.
Less than that.
$6 in monthly payment. Yeah. And as I've heard you describe, in retirement, you know, cash is king. And it's like, so why not 1.32? Why not 1.33?
Right. So that's the conversation I'm going to have now. I'm going to type it up, you know, here on Monday and say, okay, here's just something to consider. And it really comes down to, can their financial advisor over some period of time, let's say 10 years, confidently say that they can beat 5.03 on an after-tax basis in their investment portfolio. And if they can, then it's how many million can I borrow? And I'm sure there'll be some, you know, I don't think we're going to go to 2 million, but it's going to be maybe somewhere in before. But what do you always say about money questions, David?
It's you decide with your gut and then justify it to your brain.
That's right. All right. When we come back, David, you told me you've got a Florida purchase story to share as well. We're going to talk about that and down payment and retirement funds when we come back. You're listening to the Acunet Mortgage and Realty Show on the biggest stick in the state, AM 620 WTMJ.
Find a place to call home without the headache. This is the Acunet Mortgage and Realty Show with Brian Wickard on WTMJ.
Thanks for hanging out with us on the Acunet Mortgage and Realty Show. I'm David Wickard. That's Brian Wickard over there. Dad, we're talking about, well, you have a Florida client and I have a Florida client. So I helped my client last year buy a new place up here in Wisconsin. And then I think, I don't know if it was this winter, you know, maybe it was when it was like minus 30 out in January. Mm. He probably was like, you know what? Maybe I do want to move to Florida this year, not in X number of years. And so he was zeroing in on the Villages, which is a popular choice, I would describe
huge.
It. Particularly because there are some affordable options. You were describing your client in the $3 million range. My client was able to get a perfectly lovely home for under $300,000. I think that's attractive to a lot of people. And yeah, it was,
and the Sunshine is kind of similar.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think the house was even less than a year old. So, you know, there's some mechanics. So he's retired, and so we're going to be using our favorite tool for retired people, which is, hey, we're going to turn your asset of IRA into monthly income on the application to prove that you can make the monthly payment on your new Florida primary home, which is actually what we also did for his Wisconsin home last year. Just reaching back into the bag for that trick again, as he's like, I want to move to Florida. But the conversation that we, you know, spent some time on was down payment, because he was mindful. He's like, okay, not only am I going to, you know, be buying this house, but then, you know, I got to buy couches and, you know, rugs or whatever, you know, for my new Florida home, perhaps a wardrobe change for his new Florida life as well.
More shorts.
And so we began with, as I sometimes like to tell my clients and Acunet clients, like, I know I'm perhaps a little bit biased in this advice, but I believe in the mortgage product and I believe in you keeping your cash, customer, because you, that is a prudent way.
Yeah, it's a good tool. Having cash reserves money fixes a lot of problems. Equity in your home, not so much. We call that equity, debt equity.
Well, as I like to say, equity is putting a $100 bill on your roof and you don't have a ladder. It's up there. Yeah. You just can't get to it.
Unless you go open a home equity line of credit, blah, 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 blah.
So while I laid out the facts of, like, his initial request was a 5% down payment. As a repeat buyer in America, so long as you are below the conventional limit, you can put as little as 5% down on your next house.
So where's he getting the extra money if he's going to make a bigger down payment? What sock drawer is he pulling that out of?
He is going to be pulling that from his qualified retirement account, his personal IRA. So he decided...
Whoa. Is this a regular IRA or a Roth IRA?
Regular.
That is a horrible idea.
Well...
And we should... let me call him. I want the number. I'm going to call.
That is it's a decision not based on the numbers, but on the
does he understand
personal
he has
comfort
to pay income tax on?
Yes.
So let me just spell it out. For every 10 grand you take out, now this is going to push him up in his tax bracket. Mm-hmm. So let's say he's in the 22% tax bracket. I'm just pulling that out of the air. Not to mention his state. Well, he's going to be Florida, but anyway, let's just stick to 22%. For every 10 grand you pull out, you got to fork over $2,200 to at least the federal government. Yes. And so you got to keep pulling out more and more to get to the net amount. Now, he may not realize that pain until he files his tax return in 2025.
He does.
But how detailed did you lay that pain out for him?
Side by side. And for him, I think he looked in the mirror and said, I don't care. That for him, he wanted to get to that 20% down. I think there was also, he's got great credit, and even the PMI was dirt cheap. And as we do at Acunet, we laid out, here are the numbers, here are the facts. And then what he decided for his comfort level was he wanted to do the 20% down.
All right. That's all the time we have for today's show, folks. But I want to report back next week. I'd like to have an opportunity to have a conversation with this fellow, because he could put 5 or 10% down and make the rest of the down payment in the next tax year, something like that. There's opportunity for him not to waste his money by giving it to the IRS. Anyway, that is all the time we have for today's show. Thanks for spending part of your Sunday with us. You've been listening to the Acunet Mortgage and Realty Show on AM 620 WTMJ.
The proceeding was a paid program. Advice and opinions expressed during the Acunet Mortgage and Realty Show are solely that of the hosts or guests of Acunet Mortgage and Acunet Realty Advisors, and not WTMJ Radio or Good Karma Brands Milwaukee, LLC.